Right, so it's Luke chapter 5, 12 to 26. While he was in one of the towns, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you are able to cure me and make me clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus charged him to tell no one that he might chance to meet until you go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your purification, as Moses commanded, for a testimony and a proof to the people that they may have evidence of your healing. But so much the more the news spread abroad concerning him, and great crowds kept coming together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. But he himself withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. And of those days, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come from every village and town of Galilee and Judea, and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present with him to heal. And behold, some men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they tried to carry him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles to the midst in front of Jesus. And when he saw their confidence in him, their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason and question and argue, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, knowing their thoughts and questionings, answered him, "Why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power, authority, and right on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralyzed man, "I say to you, arise, pick up your litter, and go to your own house." And instantly the man stood up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went away to his house, recognizing and praying and thanking God. And overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all, and they recognized and praised and thanked God, and they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear and kept saying, "We have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today." Amen.
I don't know if you've thought about this recently, but there's a big difference between willingness and ability or power. A few very up-to-date examples. You may be aware that Chan and I moved house again recently after a long wait. Now, I would, on a good day, describe myself as a fairly willing DIYer. I'm up for it. I'm trying to gradually refurb the whole of this three-floor house. The willingness is definitely there, I would say. I mean, people may dispute that on a bad day, but generally speaking, I would say I'm willing. And in some realms of DIY, I would also say, humbly, of course, that I have a degree of ability. So I'm not too bad, at a fair range of things. Obviously, acknowledging that any gift we have is from the Lord. So that we don't get proud. But there are certain areas where I fear to tread. Plumbing is one of those examples. I'm willing to have a go, but I have to confess, I hold my hand up, I do not have the ability. Okay? Electrics is another area I fear to tread. I can change the odd fitting, but it's with a degree of trepidation I come back down from the ladder, slightly concerned for the well-being, not just of my own family, but possibly the houses that are attached to us. We live in a terrace, you see. Just concerned that somehow what I've just done might actually cause shocks to spread down the road. So again, I'm willing, but I hold my hand up. I don't have the ability. Okay, so you can see, hopefully, that there's a distinction. I think a lot of people are discovering that in this third lockdown, although we might be willing to homeschool and work full time at the same time, we don't actually have the ability. I'm being really honest, I found it quite stressful, especially if Chan's out at work. I don't have the ability to support the girls in their home learning and work full time at the same time. I'm willing, but I don't have the ability. Well, praise God, the one who we come to, the overcomer, as Matt reminded us, is both willing and able. He has the power and he's willing to work miracles in our lives. This is a wonderful, wonderful truth. I came across a quote recently, it was some months back, but it was during this challenging period, and it's really blessed me. And this is, I guess, part of what is triggering my sharing this morning. Let me just read it to you. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but it is laying hold of his willingness. Isn't that wonderful? Arthur, that was Martin Luther, actually, if you're interested. You might not be interested, but I think it's great anyway. Spurgeon, you may be familiar with this gentleman who was known as the Prince of Preachers. He says this at one point, "Beloved, there is nothing that so delights Jesus Christ as to save sinners. You misjudge him if you think he wants to be argued with and persuaded to have mercy." And then he pauses and says, "He gives it as freely as the sun pours forth light." In other words, Spurgeon is reminding his hearers at that point that Jesus Christ is willing to save souls. It delights his heart. He doesn't have to be coerced or persuaded or have his arm twisted to wash us utterly clean. He delights to do it. He's a specialist at it. And listen, my friends, he's not only willing, but he has the supernatural authority and right and ability to do it to perfection. Completely. He is able to save us to the uttermost. Complete scoundrels without a hope of salvation, he is able to take and completely save. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to the overcomer. Glory to the victor. Glory to Jesus. Wigglesworth, I don't know if you remember that. That's a great surname, by the way. Smith Wigglesworth. Smith's kind of fairly run-of-the-mill, isn't it? But Wigglesworth, wow. That's a great surname. He said the willingness of God to answer prayer is much, much greater than the willingness of men to pray. Now, that's a sobering challenge right there, but he's pointing to the same truth that God is willing to work. God is willing to save. Isn't that wonderful? And we read in our passage that Sue so kindly read for us, this amazing couple of verses about a leper. It's actually recorded in Matthew, Mark and Luke. And we're looking at it here this morning in Luke's gospel. And there is this wonderful, wonderful revelation so that we're all absolutely clear that God is willing to save, willing to cleanse. It says, doesn't it? It happened. I love when things happen. They sometimes just seem to happen as if by coincidence. But actually, the willingness of God is such that this is not coincidence at all. It says it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. In the other renderings of in Matthew and Mark, it says the leper came to Jesus. Here we have that he saw Jesus. So you put those two together. He came to Jesus and he saw him. And it says he fell on his face and implored him, saying. Now, just before we see what the leper said, it's absolutely remarkable to consider that the leper came to Jesus. In Luke's account, it was in a certain city. He should not have been in the city, my friends. He was supposed to be outside the city. In fact, it was almost as if the leper was breaking the law to come to Jesus. Now, you might say when we read what the leper says that he had, if you like, imperfect faith. But I want to emphasize that this dear man full of leprosy had faith. Faith such that he overcame the great impediment of his social outcast status. And he came to Jesus. Luke says within the bounds of the city. People would have been horrified at what was going on. It would appear that this is the first time that Jesus miraculously encounters a leper. So you might think, well, what was it that brought the leper to Jesus? Maybe he heard of other miracles that Jesus was doing. What was going on there? But he wouldn't have heard, I suggest, that any lepers have been healed. He was an extreme case. He was an impossible case. And yet, somehow, he knew he had to get to Jesus. The only hope. And listen, the leper's faith that brought him to Jesus, that enabled him to lay eyes on the one. It was remarkable faith because he had no doubt whatsoever in the ability, in the power of Jesus. He stated, you can make me clean. He had no doubt. That was a big bit of faith right there. He was full of leprosy. You can make me clean. But prior to him stating that, his big question, his great anxiety, his concern, I'm sure the thing that made him tremble in this moment as he was face to face with the Holy One was what he says so plainly. If you are willing. It's a bit like what we sang, isn't it? And can it be? Although we're singing that knowing that we've been saved, aren't we? And can it be there's wonder on the other side of the transaction? But here the leper, the whole of his destiny hangs in the balance. He's extremely vulnerable in this moment as he's face to face with the Holy One. And he says, if, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I love that. I love the authenticity. I love the honesty. I love the mix of great faith and doubt at the same time. Is he willing for someone such as me shot through with leprosy? And we'll know, I don't want to go into this too much at this point, but we'll know that leprosy in the scripture was often seen pictorially as sin, as uncleanness. I mean, it was literally a case of unclean, unclean. They would have to shout if anyone was nearby, unclean, unclean. Lord, if you are willing. And we know these are familiar verses, but I pray with all my heart that the Holy Spirit would convey the power and the significance of what goes on here. In the very next verse, it says, Jesus, then he put out his hand and touched him. again, I probably don't have to repeat, but just to say that was breaking all of the, if you like, the laws, the appropriacy of what should be done or what shouldn't be done. The leper has come to Jesus. That shouldn't have happened. And then we have this moment and it's like everything slows right down. Lord, if you are willing. And the whole, it's almost like the whole of salvation history is hanging here. And there's a little dramatic pause. Go with me if you will. It's a very short pause because Jesus, the Holy One, put out his hand. This is in response to if the unclean thing. Glory to God, the Holy One, the hope of the nations, is willing and able to reach out and touch sinners and not leave them there. Listen, it says, he speaks these words which were so important for the leper to hear. I am willing. You know the I ams in John, I absolutely love them. But I have to say, this is up there. The great unchangeable I am speaks out loud and clear into the most extreme case and boldly declares without wavering, I am willing. Glory to Jesus. And then he says, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. Wow, that's an amazing miracle, isn't it? Wouldn't you agree? I would suggest that that man, his life was completely and utterly changed on every level from that moment, that encounter with Jesus, the Christ, the victor, the overcomer. Oh, praise God. Do you know what that means for me and you this morning? Do you know if you're here listening in and you are feeling like you are full of sin? If you feel like you're bearing a weight, a burden of guilt that you just cannot shake off? Do you know what that means for you, my friend? It means that you, for a start, can come to Jesus just as you are. You don't have to get yourself sorted out and dusted down and cleaned up before you come. You can come breaking all the laws. You can come to Jesus, the Holy One, the one whose eyes burn brightly with holy fire. You can come to him. And you can pour out your heart to him. If you've doubted, if you thought there's no way I can come, there's no way I can know this salvation, you can say it all, oh Lord, here I am. And you can hear those words for you specifically this morning from the Christ, from the one who created all things. I am willing. And then he demonstrates with great ease and panache his ability. Glory to God, he can do anything. He makes it look easy. Glory, glory to his wonderful name. Be cleansed. And when Jesus says be cleansed, I'm telling you, nothing can stop the cleansing flow. Amen. There's a little caveat. The leper here clearly demonstrated his willingness to come to Jesus and his willingness to be cleansed. His issue was Jesus willing? But the leper was willing to come, wasn't he? When I said nothing can stop the cleansing flow, I meant it with all my heart. That said, Jesus is looking for our willingness. We have to confess that we don't have the ability to save ourselves. We don't have the ability to remove one little stain, if I can put it like that, of sin. Even if we sense we've only got a little bit that needs dealing with, it's absolutely impossible for us to sort it out. Or if you're feeling at the other end of the scale and you feel you're absolutely full of sin, it's just as impossible. We have to confess our inability. But we do need to come to the one willingly. And I'm telling you, when our frail, trembling, possibly shot through with doubt, willingness, that was a long kind of preamble to the willingness bit, wasn't it? But you know, the Lord sees when there's just a tentative, tiny little opening of the door or a step towards him. What he's looking for is their willingness to come. When he sees that, he absolutely delights. Can I remind you of what Spurgeon said? Beloved, there is nothing that so delights Jesus Christ as to save sinners. We misjudge him if we think he wants to be argued with or persuaded to have mercy. He gives it as freely as the sun pours forth light. He's willing, my friends, and able. And when he sees just a smidgen of willingness on our part as we come, this faith as small as a mustard seed, because of Christ, it can move mountains. The mountain of the impossibility of our sin before a holy God can be removed in a flash, in an instant, in a moment. The whole horror of all of the sin of the whole world has been dealt with in Christ at Calvary. Glory to his wonderful name. I was going to talk a bit about the next miracle, but our time has gone. I've got so caught up with the wonder of the mercy, the magnitude of the mercy of Christ. So run to him. You might have known him for years and you might have fallen in some area. You might be bearing some guilt around sin in some way. The only remedy is to run to him, who has the ability and the authority, the power to cleanse utterly, and he loves to do it. It's a lie of the enemy that would keep you from him, that says you have to somehow beat yourself up and kind of demonstrate some kind of super willingness to purge yourself. That's an absolute lie. You come just as you are, my friend. And you wholeheartedly rely on the supernatural ability and authority of Christ to cleanse completely. Oh, I love this gospel. It's time. Goodness me, it's 11:30. I've got hardly anywhere, but that's okay. I hope you go away from this morning knowing certainly in your heart and mind that Jesus Christ is willing to cleanse sinners and to embrace them. We heard it, didn't we? We almost got Luke 15 again this morning. We heard that a few weeks ago. We also heard from Roger last week. Eleazar, son of Dodo. Do you remember him? Oh, what a guy. What a guy. He was weary, but he was holding on, his hands stuck fast to that sword, the word of God. And I'm preaching unashamedly the word of God to you this morning. Jesus Christ delights to save sinners and cleanse us completely. Glory, 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 glory to the one who is able and who's willing. Amen. Bless you all, lovely people. You preach this gospel to yourselves and you preach it to your neighbors and your friends as the Lord gives you opportunity. Amen.